Our text for today is taken from Joshua chapter 2. Let us turn to Joshua chapter 2. Verse 1, right through to verse 22. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 through 22. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the forts, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up upon them, unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that he will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for a house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode 3 days, until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. Here's a very famous story of the city of Jericho. And we know it very well, how the walls of Jericho fell, and how the whole city was defeated by the Israelites because of God's power. But in this story, you also find a very wonderful story of salvation, not just of conquest, but of salvation, the salvation of a most unlikely person, a harlot, a prostitute by the name of Rahab. And over here we see the story of God's grace, not just God's judgment, but also God's grace, God's salvation upon God's grace upon this woman and salvation of this woman, Rahab. And she was really a nobody. I'm sure in Jericho she was despised. I mean, she was a prostitute, the greatest of sinners. And yet, the Lord was pleased to save such a sinner as Rahab, a harlot, a prostitute. She was a nobody, but God made her into a somebody. If you read Matthew chapter 1 verse 5, and there you have the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ can be traced right back to Rahab. Do you realize this? After Rahab was delivered, she joined the nation of Israel and got married to Salmon. And through this marriage came Boaz. Rahab gave birth to Boaz. And Boaz married Ruth, the Moabitess. And you know that story well, don't you? From the book of Ruth. And Boaz fell in love with Ruth. It was love at first sight. And Ruth gave birth to Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, King David. And from the line of King David came the Messiah, came our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so King David, the great-great-grandmother of David, was Rahab. What a wonderful story of God's grace. There is hope for sinners. You may think that you are a great sinner. And if we think ourselves in that way, it's a good thought. We may not have sinned in the way Rahab had sinned, but all of us, God says, are great sinners before His sight, before Him. We have broken the commandments of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to God, our seemingly good works are no better than filthy rags, rubbish to Him. We are not good enough. We have fallen way short, far short of God's perfect standards that are given in His laws. We're no different from Rahab, really. But there is hope. There is salvation. And God is very gracious. And He wants to save us. How can we be saved? The only way is by faith. Not any good thing or good work that we can do.
but only by the grace of God, through faith, can we be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is God's gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. And surely Rahab cannot boast of anything. She did not deserve really the salvation of God. She deserved condemnation together with her fellow inhabitants, because the city of Jericho was a very idolatrous and very immoral city, like all the cities of Canaan in those days. That's why God had to judge. And Rahab knew she deserved the judgment of God as well, and she will fall with the city of Jericho. How then was she saved? Well, she had faith. She believed in this living and true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. And that's why we read in Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. She perished not. How? By faith. By faith. So what kind of faith did she have? This morning we want to consider the faith of Rahab, the faith of a prostitute. What kind of faith did she have that saved her from the judgment that would befall Jericho? And this kind of faith we also must have if we want to escape the judgment that is to come. God is going to judge this idolatrous and immoral world one day. There's no doubt about it, no question. And we are living in this world, sin-sick, sin-diseased, sin-cursed world. How to escape from the wrath of God to come? Consider the faith of Rahab. And she had great faith. Great faith. She had true saving faith. And what is true saving faith? Now, many people today can say, I have faith, I have faith. And people today say, I'm born again, I'm born again. And we see these Hollywood actors and actresses all say, I'm born again, I'm born again. Are they truly born again? A person can say, I believe. I have faith. But we must make sure that the belief, the faith, is a genuine one. We must make sure that we are not deceiving ourselves to think that we are saved when we are not. What is faith? What is true saving faith? In Reformed doctrine, which is from the scriptures, we find that true saving faith consists of these three elements. True saving faith has these three characteristics. In order to have true saving faith, you must know. You must know the gospel. You must agree with the gospel. And then finally, you must believe and obey the gospel. And we find Rahab having all these three elements of true saving faith. She demonstrated it, right, in this chapter here that we have just read. So let us look at Rahab, her faith, to learn what is genuine faith and what is true saving faith. Firstly, we see that she knew about the living and true God. Now, faith is based on knowledge. Faith is not based on ignorance, something you do not know. We don't take a leap of faith. Please, don't take a leap of faith. Don't jump into something unknown, something that is untrue. You take such a leap of faith, you leap to your death. Bible tells us to take a step of faith. Don't jump, don't leap. You take a step of faith with your eyes open, with your spiritual eyes open. Know where you're going, right? Know what you're stepping on or standing on, and make sure that you know the truth and not that which is false. So firstly, true saving faith must have this knowledge. You must know the gospel. You must know the living and true God. And Rahab manifested this knowledge. Now you look at verse 9. It says here, you know, when the two spies of Israel went in the city of Jericho, they lodged in her place. And then she, knowing who they were, she said unto them, I know, right, she says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So she knows. She knows about the living and true God, the God of Israel. And how did she know? The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard of this God, the God of Israel. Verse 10 we read, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. So I know who the living and true God is, and I've heard of all these things, your exploits, not due to your strength, but because of this God that was with you. So she knew, she had this knowledge, she heard of this God, and she knew of the living and true God. What did she know of the living and true God, the God of Israel? Now, from the verses here, we can see that she knew that this God is the God who saves. By a powerful and mighty hand, this God delivered the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt out of powerful Egypt superpower in those days. These slaves were delivered by a mighty hand. I'm sure she must have known and heard about the 10 plagues in Egypt. The 10 plagues that God sent was to show how powerful he was, that the gods of Egypt were no match for him at all. He destroyed the power of all their gods. They were no match for him. These were false gods, no gods at all. Only the God of Israel was the living and true God. And not only that, right? She also testified how she has heard of God's power when he parted the Red Sea for them, and how 2 million could cross the Red Sea in a single night on dry ground, and how the Egyptians, including Pharaoh, were destroyed in the sea. What a powerful God you have. A God who saves, and a God who has given you this land. He does whatever he desires. This land doesn't belong to us, it belongs to him. He owns the whole creation, he owns the whole world, and the Lord has given you the land. And he parted the Red Sea for you. And then he's also a God who is judge, who punishes, who destroys those who are against him. How the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, were utterly destroyed. He's a God who judged. And we know that God is going to judge us now. I'm sure when the Amorites were sinful, God judged them. Jericho, equally sinful, belong in the same category. We are next in line. So she understood, she knew and understood what kind of God was the God of Israel. A God who can save, a God who gives and can do what he wants according to his will, a God who is very powerful, a God who judges and punishes the sin of the people. But, dear friends, just knowing about God is not good enough. And you have been coming week after week. You know this God, the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is being preached to you Sunday after Sunday. And some of you may be here for the first time and may be hearing about this God for the first time. Now you know. You know this God. That there's this living and true God who is spirit, who is invisible, and there's only one. Not many. And he's very powerful. And he's a God who judges. And in the innermost recesses of our heart, we know that this life, life on this earth, is not the only life we will have. There is a life after death. And there is going to be a judgment to come. And we know in the innermost recesses of our heart, because we are made in God's image, we have a conscience, we have a moral code built within us, we know that we have broken God's commandments. And we know when commandments are broken, there is judgment, there's penalty. You commit a crime in society, there is judgment. You're guilty, you're sent to jail. You commit murder, a life for a life, you go to the gallows. There is justice, which tells us there is a judge behind. And he will judge. You know this. But knowing this is not enough. You must also agree. Agree to this fact. Agree with the living and true God. And here we find that Rahab not only knew about the living true God, she agreed that he is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the living and true God. And we know this from verse 11, the second part, where she made this statement, "For the Lord your God," I know your God, I know what he can do, what he's like. And then she said, and she agreed, that the Lord your God, he is God. He is God. He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. In other words, she agreed that the gods that I have worshipped, the gods of this city of Jericho, are no gods at all. Your God, he is the living and true God. God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Creator. And it's also interesting that when she acknowledged God and agreed with the God of Israel, she spoke of him, right, and called him and addressed him as Lord. L-O-R-D in caps here. Right? She spoke of the God of Israel as the Lord, the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D in your scriptures, which means this is Jehovah. And the name of the Lord here, the four letters, L-O-R-D, speaks of God's covenant with the nation of Israel. He's a covenant God, a covenant-keeping God, the God of the nation of Israel, who has made many promises to Israel. And she agreed, this Lord, I mean, no other gods have this name, only the God of Israel. Right? It's called by this name, his covenant name, which speaks of his intimate relation with the nation of Israel. And so the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then she pleaded, save me and my family. Right, and my family. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And yes, God desires not only to save us, but also our loved ones, our immediate family. That's why in the New Testament we read, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Thy house. And it shows that she understood what it means to believe in this God, because this God is a covenant God. And when God made a covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God did not make a covenant just with Abraham and Abraham alone, but also his descendants, his family, you and your house. Our God is a familial God, God of the family. And that's why for us as Christians, if we believe, if we have unbelieving family members, then we must pray all the more for them. Pray for God's salvation of them, as Rahab here now prays for the salvation of his family members. We must have that concern and desire. Do you? And God, as a covenant-keeping God, has this desire to save our family members as well. And we must pray for their salvation. We must also share with them the good news. Don't just pray, Lord, save my children, but send someone else to preach and to teach them. No, we have a duty. We have a responsibility. I'm sure Rahab, when she asked for the salvation of the family members, said, destruction is coming, right? We have to gather together in my house for safety, and I tell you the reason why. This God of Israel, you don't play the fool with him. And she must have said the things that she said to the spies. I know this God, and must have shared this good news to her family members. How this God can save? Yes, he's a powerful God. He's going to judge, but he can save. Do we do this? Do we share the gospel with our family members? Pray for them, those who are still unbelieving. We must pray daily. This is the kind of faith that Rahab had. She agreed, all right, that this God is the living and true God, and the only God of the world, creator of heaven and earth. He is God in heaven and God in earth below. But take note, it is not enough just to know and to agree with the living and true God. Knowing and agreeing with the Word of God is not saving faith. It's not enough to save. Because the book of James tells us, even the devil, even the demons believe that there's one God, and they tremble. Knowing and agreeing can be just demonic faith, which is not strange to the demons. The demons also know these things. They know that there's a living and true God. And these other gods that you make are false gods. They know that. And they agree there is but one living and true God, and only Jesus can save. They know that. They agree. But the demons one day will be condemned to hell. Judgment is already reserved for them. The lake of fire was prepared for them. They know, they agree. knowing and agreeing cannot save us. We need to know, we need to agree and acknowledge this living and true God and the good news that come from Him, but that's not enough. There must be this final element in our faith. We must believe. And that's the exercise of the will. We must believe. We must obey the word that we have heard. And Rahab showed this kind of faith. She believed. And we know this from verse 17. Let's look at verse 17. Sorry. Verse 21. Right? Now, the two spies told her, yes. Verse 14, the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, and we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Alright? And then they also told her, verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And then verse 20, and if thou uttered this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And after they said all these words, right, this is the way of salvation for you. What did she say? Verse 21. That's her confession of faith. It shows that she has genuine faith. She said, according unto your words, so be it. According unto your words, so be it. That is faith. What is faith? Faith is simply taking God at His word. She did not doubt their words. She did not question their words, that this is the way she ought to be saved. I mean, consider her faith. I mean, if destruction is coming, right? People are coming to attack the city. There'll be a whole lot of fighting. And then the spies told her, for you to be saved, you just have to tie this red thread or cord, right, at your window. Make sure you're found in your house. And then you'll be saved. Now, if you hear such a word, and if you were Rahab, how would you respond? If I were her, I'd probably say, you mean this red thread or cord that I'm going to tie my window is going to protect me? You think that is enough? I would probably ask, you better send what? Ahead a platoon of soldiers, right, of your men to come and surround my house and protect me. How can this red thread by itself tied to the window, how is that going to protect me? And then in the midst of all the chaos of fighting, the men could accidentally miss out on this red thread and then come into my house and kill me, right? You better send a platoon, a troop of men, come to my house and protect my house and protect me. I think that would be a better proposition, don't you think? Did she say anything of that sort? No, she didn't. According to your words, so be it. And then also, consider her faith. I mean, she had, I'm sure, many opportunities to doubt these words or to question and to betray these men. From time, all right, these men left her to the time the Israelites came and crossed the river of Jordan into Jericho, right, to besiege the city. During this time, she would have enough opportunity to betray the Israelites. Consider, the city of Jericho. I mean, the city of Jericho was a very formidable city. I mean, the walls were great and high. Those of you who have been to the Holy Land and see the ruins, I mean, those were the walls. Huge, thick. It was well fortified. And the walls were so huge. Now, please know, there was not just one wall. There were two walls in Jericho. The outer wall, there's the outer wall, and the inner wall. And the walls were huge. So huge that houses can be built on the wall, you know. I mean, you look at verse 15. Look at verse 15 of Joshua chapter 2. Where was Rahab's house located? Now here in verse 15, we are told, for her house was upon the town wall. Was on the wall itself, right? It's how huge the wall is. Houses can be built on the wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. I'm sure the location is not so good. Probably the cheapest place in town. Because the wall is supposed to be protective, and the enemies come, the first place they'll attack is the wall, alright? The walls will fall first, and you will fall first. The most expensive prime land will be in the middle of the city. So she was not rich, she was poor, she could only afford a house on a very bad location on top of the wall, right? And if the city were to fall, she would fall first. But understand that her house was built for no, and the wall was huge, right? Not easy to break down and to penetrate. And she would have every reason to think, now, how is it really possible? I mean, Jericho has survived many wars. The city walls have held up. Right. And she could have doubted and said, all right, I think I better take my chances here in this city instead of going with the Israelites. Did she? She didn't. All the circumstances seem to be in favor, right, of Jericho winning this battle because of the soldiers they had. There were giants in the land, they were well equipped, and the walls were great. And then two huge walls, outer, inner wall. Even if they can break the outer wall, there's the inner wall. Every reason to go back on her word, but she didn't. She didn't even question what the spy said to her, what she must do to be saved. Just tie this red rope at your window. If you found a house, you be saved. According unto your word, so be it. Faith is taking God at His word. Do you have this faith? Pure, simple, childlike faith. Whatever God says must be right. God says it, that settles it. And I believe it. Without question, without doubt, because He's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. He knows much, much better than I do, than me. And He says, this is the way. I just trust Him. You see, Rahab's faith was not in the circumstances. Rahab's faith was not in the spies, what they can do for her. I'm sure when Rahab says, according unto your word, so be it, she was not thinking of the circumstances around, the words of these men. She was thinking of the God, right, behind the nation of Israel, the God of these spies who gave her these words, that He can protect me. If this is the way, even if it's such a simple thing, something that I humanly, you know, think is, you know, no protection at all, but if this God is the living and true God, surely such a simple act of tying a red rope at my window, it's enough to save me, because He knows, He sees, I've confessed Him, and He can protect me regardless. That is the kind of faith, right? No questions asked. Pure, true faith, and that's how great her faith was. And of course, here her faith is seen in her obedience. in obedience. Her faith was not a faith of Judas. Judas betrayed the Lord after being with the Lord for 3.5 years, seeing all his miracles, hearing all his words. Did Judas know Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? He knew. He ate of the miracle bread. But did he believe? He didn't believe at all. He didn't want the things that were spiritual. He wanted things that were material. He wanted to be rich and powerful. He didn't believe, and he betrayed the Lord. While Rahab's faith was not that kind of faith, not the faith of Judas, which led to his destruction, faith of Rahab was that which led her to salvation, because she was obedient to the words of God. This is the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. This only way to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, Lord, all other ways are no ways at all. You are the only living and true way. Why? Because you died for me on the cross. You rose from the dead for me. You took the penalty of my sin upon yourself. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And of course, the tying of the red thread, or the color red, is symbolic. It points to the Lord Jesus Christ. How his shed blood, the powerful blood, can save us from our sins. And I'm sure when, you know, she tied the red cord or thread, and the color is red, she would be thinking of the blood of the Lamb. That's how the Israelites were saved in Egypt, the last plague. The death of the firstborn in Egypt. How were the Israelites protected from the death plague? Well, the Lord told them, you must sacrifice or kill a lamb. There must be the shedding of blood. Yes, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And sprinkle the blood on the doorposts, the sides, and then the top. And then stay inside the house. And the death plague will pass over you. You will be saved. I'm sure she'd be thinking, she knew the word of God, the way of salvation, and she simply obeyed. Just tie this red cord. Believe in the power of God to save you, hiding behind the blood of the Lamb. By faith, she saw this, you see. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And for us too, we don't have to perish. God is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but all to come to salvation, to repentance. And Rahab, I'm sure, was repentant. She knew her life was no good. She deserved judgment. He says, I need to believe on this God who can change my life. I need him to save me. And she confessed the Lord, believed on him, and did exactly what he said, without any doubt and without any question. And for us today, we also have to exercise the same faith. We have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross. None of us here saw him nailed to the tree, nailed to the cross. None of us saw how he was buried. None of us saw him raised from the dead. None of us saw his resurrection or his resurrection appearances. But we believe. Why do we believe? Because we believe what his words say to us about what he has done for us. And that is good enough. Like Rahab, she didn't see what happened in Egypt. She only heard. She didn't see the parting of the Red Sea, and she didn't say, Lord, you must reenact the parting of the Red Sea for me before I believe. Show me. I want to see it with my own eyes. No, it's not. Seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. And she saw, although she wasn't there, she saw, because she heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The power of this God, and the power that he possessed to save, and she believed that God can also save her. In the same way, you need to have this faith. Don't say, you know, if God were to appear to me right now, if Jesus were to appear to me right now, I'd be saved. Even if Jesus were to appear to you right now, you will not want to believe if you don't believe his words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you hear the word of God now? You know. And some of you will say, yes, I agree. But do you believe? Do you believe? Do you have this obedient faith, the same kind of faith that Rahab had? Why do we believe that God has preserved his inspired words supernaturally, infallibly, so that today we can say we have a presently infallible inerrant scriptures, the same scriptures that Moses and the prophets had and the apostles, and we can live by every word? We have 100% perfect Bible today without any mistake. Did we see the process of inspiration? We didn't see, but yet we believe, don't we, that the Bible was inspired thousands of years ago. We didn't see how God preserved his words. I mean, these are the invisible works of God. We had not seen. We were not there in history. We didn't see the whole process. But we believe. Why? Do we need to see all these things? We don't. We just believe in what God said in his words. And God is truth. And his words are truth. And faith is taking God at his word. As simple as that. Do we have this kind of faith? This kind of faith is so lacking in the world today, so lacking in the church today. Church today is falling away from the faith, is becoming a compromising faith. It's not the kind of faith that God wants us. Let us not betray the Lord. Let us take God as word. This is the kind of faith the Lord wants from us. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not. Good enough for me, Lord, because I know you are all powerful. You're always existing. You're sovereign. You're in control. You're faithful to your promises. I'm sure you have kept your promises. I wasn't there. You were there, and you said you have done this, and you have promised to do this. I believe in your promises. You will not break your promises. You cannot lie. You're God. Right? This kind of faith, which is very simple. But when we allow our corrupt human reason to take over, it can become very complicated. We become confused and we become blind even to the truth. So we must go to God's word, go to his word and his word first. And study the scriptures reverently, humbly, diligently. Rahab heard, and she believed. And when the spies told her, this is what you must do, she simply said, all right, according to your words, so be it, because I know your words and the God, right, the words that come from you, and the God that stands behind those words, I believe in this God, the God of this Bible. Do you believe? I pray all of us believe and have this kind of faith. For this is true saving faith. You know, you agree, and you must believe. You must obey the gospel, and you will be saved. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray for thy mercy. Help us, Lord, in our unbelief. Grant us the faith that we might know thee in a very clear way. And we acknowledge thee, Lord. And we believe on thee. Thou art the living and true God, and Jesus the only Savior, and thy words are truth. We thank thee for this faith you have given to us, and those who are still outside thy kingdom, who do not know thee in such a way, I pray you may have mercy on them to help them to see and to believe that they might be saved. Have the kind of faith that Rahab had. In Jesus' name we pray.